Blog Talk Radio. neither will your Father, which is in heaven, will forgive you. These two verses follow the closing of Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray, the model prayer. And the preposition for shows the connection, what is about to follow, with what preceded. This connects these verses to the Lord's model prayer. Jesus explains why he said that forgiveness is conditional. You remember in Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 12, he says, when you pray, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This verse indicates that forgiveness is conditional. This was a necessary explanation for two reasons. Number one, the very idea that a person must forgive others in order for God to forgive him was totally new. It was a shocking concept, an eye-opener. It had to be explained. The very idea of forgiveness is just what it says. It is forgiving. God knows that he cannot forgive an unforgiving heart. His nature of love and justice will not permit him to indulge in sin and give license to the passions of a man's unforgiving spirit. He can forgive only where the mercy and tenderness of forgiveness are found. Therefore, Christ had to teach the basic principle of prayer, forgiveness. In Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, Jesus says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Jesus says that forgiveness is conditioned upon the basis that if a person asks for it and repent of the sins that they have committed against you. In this text, these two verses rather, we find two poignant points. Number one, the promise, forgive others and be forgiven. Number two, the warning. You refuse to forgive others and be unforgiven. Let's look at forgiveness a little closer, if you will, please. There are several prerequisites to forgiveness. For a man to be forgiven, he must do several things. Number one, he must have faith in God, a belief that God will actually forgive him. Listen to the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 11, verse number 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Number two, he must confess his sins. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the same chapter, listen to John as he penned these words. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Not only must we have faith in God and believe that God will actually forgive us, Hebrews 11 and 6, we must confess our sins, 1 John 1, 9, 1 John 1, 8 through 10. But thirdly, we must repent, turn away from and forsake the sin, and turn to God in a renewed commitment. Listen to the Apostle Peter. He said, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, where times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. What is repentance? Repentance is a change in mind, that leads to a reformation of life, a turning from one direction and going in another. Fourthly, he must forgive those who have wronged him. That's our passage. I read it again for emphasis' sake. In Matthew chapter 6:14-15, for if ye forgive men their trespasses. Conditional, mind you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. These are some of the prerequisites of forgiveness, and we need to keep these in mind. Number one, we must have faith that God will forgive us. There are many of us who have committed atrocities or sins against God, and we have asked for forgiveness, and God has forgiven us. But for some reason, we feel as though God has not forgiven us. But if we meet these prerequisites, have faith in God, actually believing that God forgives us, confessing our sins, turning from our sins, then fourthly, we must forgive those who have wronged us as well. There are four different attitudes toward forgiveness. Number one, the attitude of the agnostic or doubter, those who don't really believe in God. God may be, he may not be. Therefore, forgiveness from God is immaterial. It doesn't make sense. It does not matter. The matter is for men to forgive each other and relate properly. Forgiveness from an invisible personal God is a far-fetched idea. This is one attitude toward forgiveness. Secondly, the attitude of the guilt or conscience-stricken person. This is a person who knows little, if anything, about a personal God, yet he is deeply conscious of guilt and the need for forgiveness. He prays for forgiveness over and over, but he never comes to know forgiveness. Thirdly, there's the attitude of the social religionist. This is a person who is sometimes mentally aware of the need for forgiveness. Therefore, he makes an occasional confession. He feels forgiven, rises and goes about his affairs, and with no thought about the matter. The problem with this is that it is a false forgiveness, a mental forgiveness. The person views God as a patsy or a grandfather who allows a person to live like he wishes as long as he occasionally confesses. And this attitude is prevalent in the church. He ignores and denies the righteousness and justice of a loving God. And then finally, there's the attitude of the mature believer. This is a believer who truly knows his own sinful self and his great need for God's forgiveness. Therefore, he lives in a spirit of confession and repentance by which he comes to know God's forgiveness and the assurance of it. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we come thanking you once again for blessing us to see this day. We thank you, Father, for health and strength, the exercise of our limbs, the right frame of minds. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done. Those that have been sick with the coronavirus that have made it through successfully. We ask you to be mindful of those that have lost loved ones, that are still grieving their losses. Give them the comfort that you're able to give. Father, bless every congregation of your people. Help us to be mindful that we must cling ever so closely to your word and to walk in the old paths. Father, be with those that are sick with terminal illnesses, being treated for cancer, other illnesses that are life-threatening. We ask that you be with the doctors and nurses that are kin to them. Help them to use their knowledge to the best of their abilities. And when they have done all that they can do, Father, we ask that you will probably to step in and care for them. Please forgive us of any sins that we may have committed unbeknown to us. Bring it to our attention that we may rectify it before it's eternal, everlastingly too late. Continue to bless this program. Bless every minister that participates and the minister that hosts it, Brother Bradshaw and his family. In Christ Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen.
Again, thank you all so much for joining us on today. Please remember throughout the day to pray for every single family represented on the call. That God bless us all in ways that we stand in need of. I'm asking extra prayer on behalf of Dwight, Washington, as well as my family, the Corbett. That God bless us all and that we all put forth our good graces and allow others to see God's light shining through us, that we may be an example to all. Everyone travel safe. Respect each other's space. Allow everyone to make it to their destination safely. Have a grace, nurture, blessed day.